I call your attention this morning to that scripture that was read coming from Luke. You know, we're on a trajectory. You know, we have preached about John the Baptist being born. You know, we have preached about the Holy Spirit overcoming Mary. And now this morning, we're going to bring you up to the birth of Christ. So I call your attention this morning to Luke chapter 8. And for your hearing this morning, the key verse, the verse that my sermon is centered around, you've heard them read verses 8 through 14. But verse 11 is my key verse this morning. And it says, "And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You may be seated. You notice, and my theme this morning is the birth of Christ. Now you notice that the scripture didn't say Jesus. It didn't say Jesus Christ. It didn't say Christ Jesus. It said Christ, the anointed one. The anointed. They say his name was, see that Jesus is on the human side. But the Christ is a divine one. The anointed one. The appointed one. So when we look at our lesson text this morning, we will be dealing with the birth of Christ, the birth of the anointed one. There's a story about Alfred Nobel. He was a Swedish physicist, and he wanted to do something very good. He had made a lot of money, but he wanted to create something that would help people. So Alfred Nobel decided to create dynamite. He said, "I'm going to create dynamite so when they get ready to build a road, they can blow up all of the rocks and stuff that's in the way. When they get ready to build a building and they want to move some heavy stones, I want to do something good. I want to create something good." So he created dynamite. But what happened with his creation when it got in the hands of the wicked world? They used dynamite to blow up buildings and to go to war and to do all kind of evil things. So Alfred Nobel was pretty depressed. So he said, "Well, I'm going to do something still good. I'm going to put $9 million in the bank. And every year I'm going to look around the world. And whoever is doing something good, I'm going to give them the Nobel Peace Prize." Oh, you know Dr. King got it. He says, so every year I'm going to give somebody the Nobel Peace Prize because, see, I want to see my life contribute to something good. Now you see, God sent his son, and that's what we're here to celebrate. And his son came into the world to bring peace. But you see, the world has taken the birth of his son, and it breaks my heart to see some of these hate groups claim to be Christian organizations. It hurt my heart to see these people that are these churches that are so far out there, sometimes on the right, and still allowing, saying that we don't want certain people in our church of certain race, of certain culture. You see, that all flies against what God intended, sending his son to earth. So you see, sometimes we can, but God say, "I'm still looking for those that would accept my son and accept his word and accept his teaching and accept his ways." So this morning, we want to talk about the birth of the anointed one. When we look at our lesson text this morning, our first verse says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Today, I would teach that from the foundation of the world, God had a plan to send his son into the world to save the human race, but to save them from their sin. But you see, our lesson text says that, "And there were in the same country shepherds." And now, you know, if you look at Malachi and coming up to Matthew, that was 400 years before God had spoken. But God say, "I'm ready to speak now." He say, "But I'm going to tell you something. hallelujah, the first messenger that I'm going to send. Now, God is going to send his son. Why didn't he let him meet some dignitaries at the Ritz-Carlton? Why didn't he allow him, his son? Why didn't he allow this angel to come and to appear to some king or some big ruler? But God said, the first person that I'm going to speak to, they're going to be the people that are socially despised. They're going to be the people that are economically depressed. They're going to be the marginalized. They're going to be the people that's our outcast. They're going to be the people that's religiously disrespected. They're going to be the people that are not even allowed to go into the synagogue. Because, see, the shepherds had to sleep with their sheep, and they slept with their sheep. It's like me sometimes, you know, when I go out walking and my wife don't go with me, and I'm coming back home one morning, the weather was so pretty and beautiful, and I just came in there all walking, and the weather was so good, I decided to walk a little longer. And I walked in the house, and as I walked upstairs in the kitchen, my wife and daughter sitting there, and all I could see them just fanning away. I say, what's wrong? They say, you ain't smelling so good. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes when you're smelling bad, you can't smell yourself. Y'all with me? So anyway, you have to check yourself. But you see, these shepherds had been out there so long that they didn't know how bad they smelled. So the people say that they would defile. They wouldn't allow them. So God appeared to the outcast. God appeared to the marginalized. God appeared to the disenfranchised. Y'all get the message. But you know I have to pause right here. Because every now and then something down here on earth will break your heart. Serving at another church, being a leader in the church, we decided to bring in the pads for homeless people. But we sent some folk out and we found some of the members of the church that was at PAS. And we said, oh, this ought to be a slam dunk when we go back. But in that meeting, some folks said, we don't want those people up in here. What about God speaking to the shepherds first? We don't want those kind. And it was voted down. But that cold night after the meeting, I stood by my car. I couldn't feel how cold it was because my heart was breaking that I was serving at a church that wouldn't allow a ministry for the homeless, for the disenfranchised, for the people that are on the outside to come in on the inside. Some say you ought to leave this church, never come back again. But you know, I'm not a person that'll leave a church. I try to stay there and work some things out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a quitter. But you see, it broke my heart. But I could never minister like I wanted to minister, like God had called. It took the zeal out of me. But I thank God every morning in the cold weather, or when those homeless people get off that bus and walk into our church. You see, when I see homeless people, I don't see nothing but the face of God. Because God say, what you have done for one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. When I stand up down there at PGM at Pacific God Mission, and I see 750 people out there that have let people down, and people have let them down. They've been on drugs. They've been in prison. All I see is the face of God. So they say the first people that he spoke to was the shepherds. The people that couldn't even go into the church because the church would say they were defiled. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. Some people say that the sheep that they were keeping were the sheep that was the sacrifice that they had in the temples. So they were working with the temple. They would let the sheep that they were sacrificing come, the sheep that they were raising come into the temple, but they wouldn't let the shepherds that was raising the sheep come in the temple. So they were out there in the dark. I don't know if you've ever been in the dark. See, you don't know what dark is. See, we got street lights. Some of us live in unincorporated area, but we still got, I'm talking about, you need to go with me to Enterprise, Alabama, and try to drive some of those roads at night where they ain't never had no street light. And you can look behind you, and all you can see is, and it was something about my daddy. He knew how to drive them roads. And man, I learned how to drive just watching my daddy. I said, you know, in the dark, we're talking about in the darkness. So dark, you couldn't hardly see your hand. If you ever been in the country, I'm talking about the country. I mean, you ever been there where they never had no lights? And that's what these shepherds was up against. They were out there in the dark watching their flock by night. And then all of a sudden it says, and lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Now pay attention, because when the celestial meet up with the terrestrial, there always is going to be a problem. Are y'all with me? Or when the heavenly bodies come down here to earth, and if we have to encounter them, you know, sometime at home I tell my wife, something goes by my bedroom door at night. I think it's my mama. She says she think it's her mama. Somebody's mama walking down that hallway. I don't know who it is. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking. I think she's just looking in there and saying, James, how you doing? Is Evelyn all right? And Evelyn's mama is looking there and saying, she had been one night, it could be Evelyn's mama. Because Evelyn's mama loved me. I mean, she would agree with me before she would agree with Evelyn. That's how much she loved me. But I just want you to know, sometimes something happened. I can't explain it. I don't even need to explain it. But God knows what it is. You just go by Zoom. You may have something like that. But all of a sudden, this glorious, this illumination, this light from heaven, this thing appeared, and it was an angel. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, but this glory came, and the angel started speaking. The angel said something to them, and the angel said unto them, fear not. And the angel always said, fear not. Because I told you, this meeting of the heavenly and the earthly is always a real shock to you. I don't know if you ever met anything, but I do believe that I encountered, I told you all when I was working in fair housing, and I used to have to go over to these people's house every day, that they had firebombed this black family that had moved into this community. And it came out in the paper that this man from fair housing would come there every day, and he would go in the house. But then there would be another man that would stand outside the house. And then they would get into his black Volvo and they would drive away. Well, it wasn't nobody but me. Wasn't nobody in the car with me. But you see, they saw something else. It was in the paper that it was two. But with me, I know it was one. See, when you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, take care of me, the Lord dispatches his angels. And it wasn't just your doing or your smarts or your intelligence that you missed that accident. It wasn't just what you know that caused you to go through things and it didn't happen to you. People tell you about how you're going to be sick with whatever the doctor said you're going to have, and then you don't have none of that. But then you see. And then they said, fear not. See, God don't want you to be full of fear, especially coming up to the Christmas season, because he's coming to bring them some good. He said, behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. He said, don't get upset, because I'm going to bring you some good news. And this good news right now is for all people. And at that particular time, when they were talking about all people, they were talking about all of the Israelites. All of the people from Israel. But you see, when you look at the Bible, every Christian now is also a part of the Israel community. When you look at it, call me up during the week and I'll explain that to you. But they say, it shall be to all people. This thing that his son is bringing, it's going to be to all people. But it says in my key verse, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He said, "Now unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, in the city of David." Now you see, in antiquity, there were many saviors. There were kings who called themselves Savior. A Savior was anybody that could take away your problems or could solve the dilemma that you were in. People would come down and line up and go before the authorities and confess their problems, and the authority would solve their problems. So they looked to all of these people as their Savior. And there were people that was worshiping all these idol gods. They would take a tree and carve it up and make it into an idol god. Or they would try to worship somebody that was a god of fertility, and they couldn't make it rain or make nothing happen. But they were walking around with all them idol gods. Yeah. Oh, you know how it is, idol gods. "I can't come to church today. I got a new car. I've got a new house, and I've never enjoyed my fireplace when it's zero below weather. So I think I'll just kick back and call Reverend Shannon and tell him it's too cold for me to come to church." You know, isn't it something that God blesses folk, and they take the blessing that God has given them and use it to stop serving God? How does that work, y'all? God bless them with a job, give them a raise, and they won't give a damn to the church. How does that work? God bless them with a new car. They'll drive it down there to see the Cubs. And you know, when you go to see the Cubs, there's nowhere for you to park. They'll drive down there anyway. They say, "If you come into the Cubs game, take public." "No, I'm driving my new car." I don't get that. If somebody can explain it, you have to do it now, but call me sometime. How can you explain how God has blessed you? But God only blesses you for you to become a blessing to other people. Are y'all out there? He said, but this Savior that this angel was talking about from the city of David, this Savior, which is Christ the Lord, this is the anointed one. I know Gabriel told Mary that she was going to have a son and his name was going to be Jesus. But I want you to understand that Jesus is the human side. But I'm talking about Jesus is going to have to go through some phases in this world. But when he come down here and tabernacle on earth, they're going to call him Jesus. They're going to call him Jesus Christ. They're going to call him Christ Jesus. But the end of it all, when he go back to heaven, he's going to go back to where he was in the first place. Christ, the anointed one. The Savior of the world. When he got up out that grave and had all power in heaven in his hand, and God said, "I'm going to give all my power." It was Christ, the anointed one. And then that 12th verse says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know, we have to have a sign. But the angel said, your sign is going to be that the most humblest thing that you can find. There is going to be a child. And there won't be any room in the inn. So this child is going to be born in a barn. And his bed is going to be the feeding trough of an animal. And he's going to be wrapped in rags. And now I know a lot of you born in Mississippi and Alabama. A lot of you lived in tin top houses with dirt floors. Some of you, you know, coming from the South, we couldn't even go to hospitals. We had to have a midwife to deliver all of the babies. Miss Lucy. Miss Lucy delivered me. Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We had to have a midwife. Our hospital was called an infirmary. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. But you see what I'm saying? Even that humbleness, not even being able to go to the hospital to have a baby, even that humbleness I was still born in a warm room in a warm house. But this baby was born in a barn. And his first bed was the feeding trough of an animal. None of you, there's no one in here that could have ever been born in such a humble environment. But why? Why? The question is why did God not allow this baby to be born in an aristocratic setting? God said, listen, I want you to understand something. I don't ever. And see, this is why I was so upset when they didn't vote right for the homeless folk. See, this is why deep down in my sanctified soul, I knew something was erratically wrong with folk when they don't want to serve God. I knew it in my spirit. I could feel it. My heart was breaking. I said, came home and told my wife, I say, something is wrong with the church. I don't know if I can still serve them. They're trying to have church without God. I felt like Jesus when he said, I healed 10, but where are the 9? Some things can hurt you if we're human. A building that called themselves the church, when a church does not liberate the oppressed, according to James Cone, it should not be even called a church. So we look at this thing. And he said there will be a sign. And the sign will be there are going to be many babies born in Bethlehem. But there's only going to be one that's in a barn, in the feeding trough of an animal. And that is, or that will be, the Son of God. And then he said, and he's going to be lying in there, wrapped in rags, and you will know that's him. Now, how is that going to be the Messiah in a barn, in rags, in the feeding trough of an animal? And we come to church and look down on folk that can't talk good as us, don't smell good as us, don't look like us. We do, y'all do me like my wife and daughter did when I walked in that house. Hey, go back outside. That's what we see. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, now pay attention, because see, when a boy child was born in antiquity, when one of the Israelites had a boy child, see, they bought a musician. A musician came to the house to welcome that child into the family. But you see, God say, listen, this is my son. I'm not going to have any musician to come to play at his house. I'm going to send a heavenly host. Let me see. A host is an army. He said, I'm going to send an army. Hallelujah, church. I'm going to send an army that's going to welcome my son. And they came down and they say, a host praising God and saying, now Larry making way. See, Larry, you make it play that song. They a heavenly host, an army. My love. Have you ever heard an army sing? I'm not talking about no church choir. I'm talking about an army. And the army said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now pay attention, because see, sometimes we take this scripture and we mess it up. You see, they say God sent his son to bring peace on earth. But the Bible also said that Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And he also said that there will be division between mother and daughter, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law and son. Now, wait a minute. Let's reconcile this thing all together here. Now, if you said he came to bring peace on the earth, then why did the Bible talk about there are going to be wars and there are going to be rumors of wars and all this kind of stuff? See, the peace that he brought was toward man. It wasn't among men, but it was toward man. The peace that he brought is toward you The peace that he brought was to let you say that the war against man is over. I told you he hadn't spoken in 400 years, but now he said, when the Old Testament was there and you had sin, I was against man because man's sin had to be paid for. But now I'm sending my son, and now the war that between me and you and your sin is over. He said, I'm no longer at war with you. He said, there's no longer a sin problem because I'm sending my son to battle to pay for your sin. So he said, now the war, the peace is toward you. He said, Shannon, when you're in trouble, when the world is coming against you, when it looks like you can't make it, everything is going against you, I want you to know that I sent my son so you would have peace in the midst of your troubles. Let me just explain something to you about this piece. See, that were two painters, and they were painting some pictures. And they say, we want to paint a picture of peace. And they say, okay, well, which one of you paint the best picture will win the contest. Also, the first guy went, and he painted this beautiful picture of this beautiful lake, and he painted the sun going down. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the sun going down. I know you can be at odds. When my wife and I was in Hawaii, we watched that sun go down over that ocean. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, this is what this man painted. But the second man that won the contest, he painted the picture of a storm. And in the storm he showed all of the thundering and stuff going on and that happens in a storm. He painted all how the wind was blowing and the water was raving and all of that. But in the midst of the storm, there was a bird over in the corner on a rock. And in the midst of all of this turmoil and all of this, the bird was chirping. In the midst of a storm, the bird was singing. There is any doubt that the second one won the contest. But God said, I came to bring peace toward man. And I want you to understand something about this peace that God comes to bring toward man. It says, this peace that I give you is not as the world gives peace. Are you out there? And there's peace that God gives you. It surpasses all human understanding. You know, sometimes when you're talking about receiving this peace that God said, it surpasses all human. And you can't even explain it. When something is going wrong in your life and you got the peace of God in you, you cannot even explain it. You may have doctor's reports. You may have all kind of stuff. And you call somebody and they say, I call Sister Foster sometimes. She say, I'm doing good. She just left the Cleveland Clinic. But she got peace. I'm talking about the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. I'm talking, God gives peace, not as the world gives it. You see, some of you may think that in the absence of an argument, you know, I may go home and if my wife is upset with me about something, which is hardly ever and very rare. Y'all with me? But now let me tell you something. Just because she's not talking to me, you know, that don't mean that we got peace. That could be a cold war, couldn't it? But see, the absence of an argument is not peace. You say, well, everything must be going all right. She ain't talking to me, Reverend Charity. But I'm going to tell you, that may not be peace. But see, these things I have spoken to you so that you would have peace. And it lets you know that in the world, there will be tribulations. But I just stopped by this morning to help you to understand that he has overcome the world. There's no problem. There's nothing up against that. There's no reason. Jesus went to Calvary's cross, the most horrendous death that you've ever heard of. And now it's one of the sacred things that you can ever look at. The cross. And offense to anything. The cross of Christ. No matter where you go, no matter what community you go in, if you find a cross there, you could go into the most deepest slum, the most blighted community. If you find a cross, you'll know it's possible. If you go to one of the richest communities, Winneka or Kenilworth or somewhere, and you look up and you see a cross, God sent his son, a baby born to help us to understand that I'm sending joy into the world. But I'm sending this peace, Shannon, it's toward you. There are going to be trials and there's going to be tribulations in your life. But the joy of Christmas, the best gift has already been given. That no matter what you're up against, you're going to be just like that bird that was singing. The bird that was singing in the midst of the storm, because the bird was singing and the storm was there. But the bird had joy. Do you have joy? Oh, it's not about how many gifts you're going to get on Christmas. It's not about all of the kind of shopping and staying up and going somewhere at 5 o'clock in the morning to try to be the first one in some store and get beat up and all that kind of stuff. It ain't about all that kind of stuff. It's about God sending his son so we can have joy in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of everything that we're going through, in the midst of doctor's reports, in the midst of financial collapse, in the midst of everything. And sometimes we don't have this peace because we don't ask God for it. Ask God for the shalom that should be in your house. If it's not there, you need to ask God for it. Because the thing that I like about God, his name is peace. Hallelujah. Check him out in Isaiah. His name is peace. He's the Prince of Peace because his father is the king of it. Are you out there? Are you ready to celebrate Christmas? Do you realize what it's all about? God sent his son into the world so that we'll have joy. And he sent it to people that was marginalized. He sent it to people because those shepherds never had any good news. The good news of the gospel, the good news is that no matter who you are and where you are, you can have joy. God is calling you this morning. Are you out there? If your mind is troubled, are you out there today? God is calling you. Are you out there today? God is calling you. He wants you to have peace. There may be times and there may be trouble. There may be different situations in your life. There may be people that have turned their back on you. There may be things that have hurt you so bad. There may be situations in your life, but God is calling you to peace. Christmas is about God sending his son so that the world will have peace. Are you out there? Let us all stand so you may feel like walking. God is calling you this morning. He's calling you out of a world of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants to give you peace, his peace. You see, when God gives us his peace, we can bring peace to the world. God wants to give you his peace so that you can bring peace to marginalized, hurting folk. God wants to use you because, see, a man that's at war with himself will put nations to war. But God say, Shannon, I'm going to give you my peace so that when people come to you that don't have peace, what are you going to do in a counseling session? I'm going to give them my peace. What are you going to do when you preach? I'm going to preach about your peace. Are you out there? Do you have peace? Oh, I'm not talking about no absence of no argument. I'm talking about real, real joy deep down in your sanctified soul. Do you have joy?